Now, this is the part where I do something really interesting and exciting to encourage you to stay tuned to my radio show. I'm James Whale, and this is my radio show, broadcast here, of course. And I'm supposed to say something really entertaining. Joe McKeldry is on the show today. Is that enough? Or should I do, you know, something like, this is the James Whale radio show.
James Whale! James Whale! James Whale radio show!
So, welcome to the program. I trust I find you well today. How are you? Don't all shout at once.
I'm okay.
Yeah, okay. You're all right?
I'm all right.
You sure?
Yes, I'm all right.
Good, good. That's Robbo. He produces the program. I'm James. You can just call me Whaley. And I sit here. I'm losing everything on the floor at the moment. I sit here and we talk and do a few interviews and encourage you to join us on the air. It's that simple, really. All you've got to do is listen. And I tell you what else I like you to do. I like you to tell somebody else to listen as well. We've got some music on the program this week. I'll say big hi to all those of you listening via your own local radio station. And, of course, hi to those of you who listen to us via talentgb.com. Talentgb.com. Joe McKeldry coming your way very soon. Audio Boo. That's another place people listen to us. But you can listen to us anywhere. Rob, tell them how. The thing is, when I say this, Rob, everybody listening at the moment knows the answer to this.
Well, they know one answer.
I mean, you could go to my website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, and you can listen to us there.
That's correct.
You can Facebook us.
Yeah, that's a good way of getting in touch.
You can listen to us there, and you can get in touch there as well. But you might be listening via one of the very many radio stations who actually take this program.
And there's lots of them.
Yeah, lots. You are now joining the hundreds of thousands of listeners, not only here in this country, but I like to think worldwide.
Worldwide Whale.
Worldwide Whale. Yeah. It would be nice, wouldn't it be nice, actually, if we could get some texts or emails, Facebook us, from people sur le continent.
The sewer on the continent.
As the legend... what was it? Jimmy Young who used to say that, wasn't it? Sur le continent. Mm. So are we using our very nice new premium rate text in number today or not?
You can't say premium rate.
Why not? It's hugely expensive. No, it's not. Listen, if you text me on this number, what's the number?
81888.
81888. But don't you have to put the word whale in there somewhere?
Text 81888 plus whale and then your message.
Yeah. So you say whale and then, James, I think you're the best thing on the airwaves, or whale, and then you can say, James, I really hate your program. I hope you could do whatever you want, or you could take part in what we're talking about. But we also have to make some money to keep this program going. I mean, poor old Rob, he is actually living in one room at the moment on a mattress in the corner. Where he just lives for the show. He lives to get this show on the air every week. Isn't that right?
That's right. No pillow.
No pillow. No, we can't afford a pillow or a duvet.
Do we have to say that texts cost 25p plus standard network rate?
Do we have to say? Of course we have to say. It's a legal requirement. Okay. Why wouldn't we say it?
Well, we've said it now, haven't we?
What was the number again?
81888.
81888. All right, so if you text whale 81888, and just do it a couple of times, then you'll give us 50p, right? And that helps go towards keeping him in cans of Red Bull and packets of cheese and onion crisps.
Cans of Coke.
You shouldn't drink that stuff. It really is appalling. What? No, it is. So anyway, that's one of the ways of keeping us afloat and keeping us going. The other way is if you go on the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click on Love Film, follow the links, get a month's free movies. And that, of course, generates cash for the program. It's a commercial enterprise. We have to find some way of doing it. And the other way, of course, is you go to Audible. That's quite good. You see Audible? It's got a link there, Audible. And you click on Audible. Now, here's the good thing. You can get the audio version. These are all audio books. You could get my autobiography, which is called Lifetime of Nighttime. No, it's not. It's called Almost a Celebrity. A Lifetime of Night. Shut up. Just shut up. I've had a very long week. Doing breakfast for the BBC, doing a breakfast radio show for the BBC, means I have to get, and I'm really having a great time. Listen, that's another thing. Join me in the morning from 6 until 9. You can find me on BBC Essex. So if you go online, wherever you are, DAB, you can get the programme. And you can phone me. We can talk live on the air. So just while I get my body adjusted to it, you might find I'm a bit strange whilst doing the radio blog here. So I forgot what earth I was talking about.
You were telling everyone if they went to jamesworldradio.co.uk and clicked on the links like Audible, they can get free books.
Oh, Audible, yeah, because not only could you get my book free if you click on and follow the links, and if you happen to be a member of Amazon, you don't even have to register. But if you've already got the book, I suggest there's another book I just did called The Butterfly Boy. And if you would prefer to have The Butterfly Boy, you can have The Butterfly Boy. But all I just please click on the link of Audible and Love Film, follow the links, register with them. And you get all sorts of things for doing it, plus we get some money to keep the programme going. Right, that's the commercial over. Here's the important bit. Last week, David Cameron has asked us to phone a friend in Scotland and tell them to vote no in the Scottish referendum. Now, here's the rub. I've got some Scottish friends. I mean, you know my friend James Cosmo that I play Bows and Arrows with from one of your favourite films, isn't it?
Highlander,
or he's, of course, Game of Thrones. That's a biggie.
Not seen that one.
Have you not seen Game of Thrones?
No, it's got too much sex and violence in it.
There is a lot of sex in it. Actually, I think if you go onto the website, we've got a video clip of me there interviewing him, haven't we?
We have.
Plus, we'll tell you about the lost tapes of James Whale as well. Which
you naked in a bathroom.
I actually want to pick you up on that in a moment, but let's get back to this. Mrs. W is not amused.
Oh, no. Am I in trouble?
Well, I'll discuss that with you in a minute. Anyway, listen, this is the thing. David Cameron wants us... I was talking about James Cosmo, my mate from Scotland, who obviously lives down in England now. Apologies to those of you in Scotland, but I mean, there's an awful lot of you living down here in England. In fact, arguably, there are more of you living down here in England than there are of us living up there in Scotland. It doesn't sound very nice, does it, when you talk about it as if it's two separate countries? It doesn't, does it?
No.
No. Okay, so you might bear that in mind when you're voting in the referendum. But anyway, oh dear, excuse me one moment, can you? Just a minute. I'm sorry. I'm really very busy at the moment. I can't talk. Okay. Yeah. No. I've posted it off to the revenue. Yep. It's okay. Bye. Right. Sorry about that. Where was I? Oh yes. So the thing is that if you don't have a friend in Scotland, what are you supposed to do? I mean, what are you supposed to do? Have you gone to sleep while I'm on the air?
No, I'm just thinking. Maybe we could all move to Scotland temporarily, rented accommodation, and then we could all vote.
I mean, does anybody really think the Scots are actually going to vote to separate from the rest of the United Kingdom? I mean, why would you want to do that to yourself?
How are they going to have pound shops?
Well, they can't have pound shops because we're not going to let them have sterling as their currency. And maybe we should.
Euro stretcher. There we go.
A Euro stretcher.
Euroland.
Yeah, Euro. I don't think that. Listen, I'm not sure that Europe would want them in the Euro.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. Anyway, we put this out on Facebook, and you can Facebook me, of course, easily by
going to facebook.com/JamesWhale Radio.
So, why don't you text me, 81888, putting the word whale first. Tell me whether you think, first of all, whether you think the Scots ought to be voting for separation in the referendum. And if they do, should they be allowed to keep the pound? Should they keep the pound? Sandy actually emailed me at jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Sandy, anyway, hi, Sandy. He said, James, I've been thinking about this whole Scottish referendum, and if the Scots have to have their own currency, could it be a jock? I don't know. I think, isn't that slightly rude? I don't know. The other thing, of course, is some people think the English should be allowed to vote on whether or not they want Scotland to stay in the Union. Either way, let me know your feelings. Text me, 81888, putting the word whale first of all. John Hunter said David Cameron has no friends in Scotland. So who's he trying to kid? And Mark O'Devonshire Earl, what a posh name that is, Mark. Well, that's a really good name. He said, why did he allow a vote in the first place? If he's against it, I don't trust Mr. Corporate Cameron. He must have a hidden agenda, as per normal with all politicians. And Lane Thomas Hewitt says, I have a few Scottish friends who all think the prospect of Scotland looking after its own affairs quite laughable. Sadly, though, in times of austerity, nationalism grows wings and a hefty pair of balls.
I'm not sure you can say wings on the programme.
Yeah, I think so. Probably you can. So he's got a point, isn't he? I mean, do people really think that separation is going to work? As I say, text me 81888, putting the word whale first. Mark Murray. It's a good name. It's a good Scottish name. Mark Murray says, being Scottish and pro-independence, I would like to emphasise my feeling that it isn't the English that we want to be split from. It is the likes of Cameron in Westminster. And before you dig me up regarding Cameron's lineage, I am fully aware that he is of Scottish descent. And no, we won't take him back. Thanks, Mark Murray. Listen, if every time we had a prime minister or a government in that some of us didn't agree with, we'd be splitting up from each other all the flipping time, wouldn't we? I mean, that, you know, it doesn't work that way. If the United Kingdom suddenly becomes the disunited kingdom, it's not going to benefit any of us, least of all the Scots. I would have thought. I don't know. I'm still interested. Text me, 81888, putting the word whale first. John Hampson, we'll get some of these answers on next week's programme. What will we do, Rob?
We'll get some answers on next week's programme.
Listen, I lived for 20 years in Yorkshire, and there was quite a move in Yorkshire for Yorkshire independence at one time. And I lived for 10 years in the northeast of England, and there was always talk about rebuilding Hadrian's Wall. But usually it's all said in jest, really, all said in jest. But I'd like to have your thoughts. And three things, really. Should we all be able to have a vote on Scotland's separation? Maybe it should be up to everybody in the United Kingdom to have their say on whether they think it's good for them, not just the Scots. And if the Scots vote yes, should we allow them to continue using sterling? Because that may be detrimental to the economy of England, Wales and Northern Ireland, who would remain, of course, in the United Kingdom. Your thoughts? Text me 81888, starting your text with the word whale. Now, I think it's time for a bit of music before we do anything else. What do you say?
Well, I'm just going to tell you that we had a text from Tracy Vineyard.
Are you?
Yeah, she won the competition last week. And you said,
she did. I queried her name, didn't I?
You did, and it is her name. She says it genuinely is her name.
She's called Vineyard.
Hmm.
You said Vineyard.
Ah, maybe we should get her to text back and tell us which one of us is right.
Yeah, I think it's Vineyard.
And calls cost 25p plus standard network rate.
Yeah, 25p goes to the James Whale Radio Show. Keeps it going, coming to a radio station near you or on your computer, your tablet, or on Audio Boo, Talent GB, or any myriad of different places. This is called This Moment by High Horses.
Give me freedom, give me peace. Give me food, give me sleep. Give me strength and give me courage. Give me sun in the sky. Let me live before I die. Give me fame and give me fortune. Now I'm ready for this moment, and all that I want is this moment. Yes, all that I have is this moment. Yes, all that there is this moment. Clouds, give me rain, give me loneliness and pain, give me tears and give me heartbreak. Cause now I'm ready for this moment, and all that I want is this moment. Is all that I have is this moment. Is all that there is this moment. Anywhere but where you are. Could you be anywhere but where you are? Could you be anywhere than where you are? Could you be anywhere but where you are? Could you be anywhere than where you are born now? Could you be anywhere? Moment.
Now, my next guest, Joe McElderry, has soared from X Factor Golden Boy to a national treasure after crooning his way into the heart of the nation. Joe joins me now. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm reading out part of your press release here. It's really nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I didn't write it myself, I will say that.
Joe, tell me, was X Factor, first of all, of course, everybody remembers you winning X Factor. Was it what you expected when you went for it?
I mean, I didn't really expect it to be at the size of the magnitude that it was. You know, I didn't think it was going to be as big as that.
Sorry, guys, I'm going to have to interrupt. Somebody's got a mobile phone next to their microphone. Is that you, Joe?
I don't think so.
Is there a mobile phone?
Is that better?
Bom, bom, bom. No, none here.
That's gone clear now. So did you pick up a phone and move it then, did you?
There was a phone.
Yeah, it was doing the interfering with the call. Okay, sorry guys.
I will. That's all right. That's Rob. He's a bit of a beast. Yeah. You're a bit of a beast, Rob, aren't you?
Keep fading myself out. Yes, I'm a bit of a beast. Thank you very much.
He is. He's a beast. Okay. Let me.
Do you want to start it again, James?
No, I like you being in there.
Really?
I like me calling you a bit of a beast. Yeah, actually. Joe doesn't mind, do you, Joe?
No, I don't mind.
All right. No, exactly. Now, listen, Joe, I want to know, because, and I think this is what everybody wants to know, did you expect, when you turned up to that audition and you got in line, did you expect it all to pan out the way it did?
To be honest with you, when I was in the show, all I was ever kind of focused on was just making it through to the next week. So then when it actually got the final and obviously I went on to win it, I didn't really think that far ahead. And then I was like, oh my God, like what do I do now? But I just feel really fortunate that I get to do something that I love, you know, and I get to go on stage every night and call it a job, you know. I mean, really, it's a hobby. Singing's a hobby. And the fact that I could get to do it as a job and enjoy it and, you know, make a living from it, I feel really fortunate.
When you turned up to do the audition, everybody looking at X Factor thinks, oh, it's all planned and all those people hang around, but they've already picked out the people who are going to be on the show. But is it as it seems?
Well, for me, it was. I auditioned. I went and stood in a big stadium of about 60,000 people all auditioning. And I sat there and I thought, this is pointless. Let's just go home. Because I never in a million years thought I would get through to any kind of rounds of seeing the judges or anything. And obviously I got through. And there's thousands of people there. So every step of the way you just think, it's never going to happen. You know, I'm probably going to get sent home at this point or this point or this point. And then before I knew it, I was in the live shows and off I was going, you know. And it happened so fast that... You know, I didn't really have time to think about it.
When did you know that it had changed your life? Was there a point when you realised, do you know, my life is never going to be as it used to?
I think maybe the week after winning, doing all the TV shows and going on Top of the Pops and kind of releasing the first single, I started to realise that, like, I was in situations that I never would have had the opportunity to be in without the show. So I probably at that point I was like, wow, this is so different of what I'm used to. But I never ever kind of, and I still now, you know, I don't ever kind of think that my life's changed forever. I kind of just work hard to be good at what I do, and hopefully that means that, you know, I'll be blessed with a long career.
Mm. What do you think about all those people who look down on anyone who did the X Factor and sort of speak in very derogatory terms about people who actually found fame in that way?
Well, most of those people, if people did their research, most of those people that slag it off, I think, probably did shows like that weren't on TV before they became famous. So it's kind of a bit hypocritical, I think. And also, I don't really care how, as long as somebody's talented and good at what they do, I don't really care how they got into the industry. I don't really think it makes them any less or more of a person by doing it anyway. There's thousands of channels and ways of getting into the music industry, and I don't judge anybody for any way they do it. I think, well, good on them for getting into the industry, because it's a very tough industry to get into. So I don't really mind people slagging the show off. It doesn't really bother us. But I think it's a bit unfair when they give people stick for going on these shows, because I'm sure had there been an opportunity when they were breaking into the industry and finding it a bit hard, maybe they would have thought about doing it. You know, it's easy to sit and say that when you're selling millions and millions of albums. You know, judging somebody who's trying to get into the industry, I think they give people an unnecessary hard time.
How important is it that Simon Cowell likes you, and does he like you?
You'd have to ask him if he likes us. I don't know if he likes us. But ultimately, he runs the record label that you would become signed to when you win the show. So he is kind of the one, I think, that everybody wants to impress on the show, because he's a music mogul. I'm with Universal now. I'm not with Psycho anymore. But when I was with him, obviously, it's like when somebody's your boss, you want to impress them. You want to be the best you can be at your job.
Absolutely. Lots of people do, if they win or they do quite well, stay with Psycho. But most of them don't stay with Psycho for long. You've gone with Universal. Did Psycho offer you any other sorts of deal after the first one?
Well, the deal is basically you release an album, and then they like any record label, to be honest, they decide whether they want to make another album with you. They chose not to make one with me, which I think, looking back at the time, I was a bit like, oh, what am I going to do now? looking back now, probably was a blessing in disguise, because I was able to go off and do things that I probably wouldn't have done had I still been signed to them. And I feel like I wouldn't have experienced half of the stuff I've experienced if I was still signed to them now. So I think looking back now, it was a blessing in disguise, to be honest. It was just, it was kind of a way for me to kind of just kind of have a look around and see what was going on. And I probably wouldn't have done that had I been signed to them still.
Well, Joe, you're doing remarkably well now. We're going to talk about some of the stuff you're doing now in a moment. Have you ever bumped in to Simon Cowell since then?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think the press made such a big deal about the whole kind of parting ways with them and everything when it happened, that I think people think that there's going to be some kind of, like, cowboy-style standoff if we meet each other at an event. And to be honest with you, I have the same... At the end of the day, he's not responsible for my career, and he never was and he never has been. I'm responsible for it. He gave me a platform on one of his shows, and I was able to, you know, capitalise on that. And, you know, and that's all it was. You know, I still respect him. I still get on with him. I would still say hello to him if I seen him. We were never friends in the first place. It was totally just a business relationship, and it would be the same now if we've seen each other. It would be like, hi, how are you doing, hope you're well, and wishing each other well. And it's never changed, but it's been made into this big thing that we absolutely hate each other, but I don't dislike him at all.
No, I've met him a couple of times, and he's got charm. He's a nice guy. He comes across as a nice guy, but he's a hard businessman, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's why he's a multimillionaire.
Yeah, and I'm not. But okay, let's talk a bit about the fact that singing is a lot to you. As you said, you love to sing, and you know obviously you have an amazing voice. If you hadn't gone into the X Factor, if you hadn't won the X Factor, how would your life have gone? What were you doing before you did the audition?
Well, I was at Performing Arts College before I did the audition. I was training to get a national diploma in performing arts. And I probably would have tried to go down to London to one of the theatre schools, maybe. But looking back now, I probably don't think I had enough confidence to do that. So maybe I was always interested in medicine. I probably would have wanted to be a paramedic or a nurse or a doc. I don't think I'm bright enough to be a doctor, but I would like to have thought I would have been a doctor.
I'm sure you are if you wanted to do it. Listen, Joe, whereabouts do you come from?
I'm from South Shields, which is about 10 minutes outside of Newcastle.
Listen, I spent most of the 70s living in Newcastle. I know exactly where South Shields is.
So I heard.
But probably that was before you were born.
Just a bit.
You should have said no, Joe. You made the wrong... That was the wrong answer.
Sorry, of course I was born. Of course I was.
I lived in a place called Prudder. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, I used to go swimming there with my dad.
Did you go in the river?
I've never been in the river, no. Is it good there?
Yeah, I have in my youth swum in the river up there. Perhaps we shouldn't suggest people do that. Where you come from, did you know this? I don't know whether you did. I like curry. Where you come from in South Shields, that was where the first Indian restaurants in the country set up.
Well, we have a street now in South Shields called Ocean Road.
It was there before you were born.
Well, we have about 35 curry houses on that street now. It's famous for how many curry houses are there. It's ridiculous. There's so many to choose from.
Ocean Road, when I in the 70s, when I was living in the Northeast, Ocean Road was still the place to go to get a curry. And yes. That's 30 years ago.
Still the same now. Still the same. Like every other shop is, every other restaurant is a curry house.
Is Marsden Grotto still there?
The pub Marsden Grotto is still there, but the actual Marsden Rock now, where it was all kind of built around, that's almost gone now.
What, fallen into the sea?
Yeah. It's less than half of it is now still there. They had to pretty much blow half of it up because it was so unsafe. And now there's only half of the rock left.
Oh, well, I'm upset now. I'm not going to talk about that anymore.
I'm giving you a bit of updated culture, aren't I?
Yeah. Joe, thanks for that. Thanks very much. Listen, just let's talk about the other TV show. People may not have seen this, Pop Star to Opera Star, which I saw. And actually it took people in the the pop world, trained them to sing opera. And it seemed to me that you could quite easily have become an opera singer.
Well, I was actually told by Rolando after the show that he said to me, he said, you're far more developed as a classical singer at your age than I was when I was your age. And he was like, you should go to study it. You should go and study classical music. But the thing is you have to study it for about 10 years. And I mean, I would love to I would love to say that I'd done it, but I don't really have the time. And it's a lot of dedication. And I didn't feel like it was something that I really... I enjoy doing the classical crossover and recording the albums in that way and that style and genre. But I think to actually go to college for 10 years is a huge commitment. And I would almost not be able to kind of work, which I don't think I would be able to handle now. I've been too used to working for so many years that to actually go back and start studying again, I'd find it quite difficult, I think.
Okay, now a couple of questions that I just... You're actually singing at an awards ceremony in April, aren't you?
Yes, Soldiering On Awards, yeah.
What is the Soldiering On Awards?
The Soldiering On Awards is a big charity. Soldiering On is the charity. And the award ceremony is basically kind of presenting people with, like, outstanding recognition, outstanding achievement, different things. And the charity actually supports families as well as the injured soldiers and gives them kind of psychological help, physio, different things that is not always provided after an injury or if you can't be in the army anymore. So it's a brilliant charity. And I got invited actually last minute last year. And somebody's like, oh, do you want to come along? It was actually my manager. He was like, do you want to come along and join in the night? You know, and I went along and I got up and sang a song at the end and had an absolutely amazing night and met some incredible people. So this year they asked if I would perform and do like a full show. Brilliant. It'll be a really nice night to be at, actually. It's quite nice to go to them events, which are not as kind of silly as, like, you know, music events, because it's recognising real bravery and real issues, you know, real life things.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think it is a really amazing thing. And those guys who go and do what they do and end up in the situations they do, I don't think we give them enough credit and enough support in this country, and I think that's an amazing thing. Soldiering On Awards. I've got a couple of tickets I'm going to give away in a competition later on in the programme. People, stay around for that. So you might get to go and meet Joel. If they're the winners of the competition, Joel, can they come and say hi to you?
Of course. Of course.
All right. Now, listen, Cheryl Cole, who was your mentor in X Factor, wasn't she?
She was, yeah.
I want to know that she's fabulous.
Oh, she is. She's brilliant. She's a really lovely girl, down to earth, really supportive. And to be honest with you, I don't actually think I probably could have... It was my first time being away from home, and I think the fact that she was from the same area and we're kind of related to each other in that sense, that we didn't live too far from each other... And she was away from home and I was. It really helped me through the whole process.
Do you see her still or not?
Yeah, I mean, we don't see each other a lot because she spends a lot of time in America and she's always working and so am I. But we keep in touch and we text each other and we drop in on each other and say how you're doing and all of that kind of stuff. And we try and see each other at least a couple of times a year, but it is difficult because we're both at opposite ends of the country all the time. If she's in London, I'm in Newcastle. If she's in LA, I'm in London. It's just a bit of a nightmare.
And tell me about Whitney Houston, because people have all sorts of thoughts and views on Whitney Houston. You were lucky enough to have met Whitney, and she was impressed with you, if I remember correctly, wasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, if there's one singer that I think any singer wants to sing in front of or meet or be mentored by, it's probably Whitney Houston, you know? She's one of the ultimate singers of all time. So when they actually surprised us and we had no idea we were going to meet her, and all of a sudden we were all standing singing around a piano and she just walked in with Clive Davis, who's like in the music world is like renownedly famous for producing some of the biggest artists in the world. So they both walked in and we were all like, oh my God. But she was lovely, you know, really nice lady, really helpful, full of advice and just really supportive of everybody. So it's definitely one, it's one to tell the grandkids, I think, getting to meet her.
Did you feel the sort of unhappiness that she's supposed to have had?
What, you mean through all the press and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
She seemed very upbeat, you know. She was very interested in the music, and it was her first time back, I think, into the music industry in about maybe 9 or 10 years. And that was one of the first performances and first kind of TV things she'd done in a long time. So I think she was she seemed excited and quite like fresh-eyed, you know. She seemed like she'd had a break and she was all fresh. But
brilliant.
Yeah, unfortunately, that didn't turn out to be.
It didn't, and it was a great loss to the world of music, I reckon.
Totally, 100%.
George Michael, you sang a duet with George. Did you enjoy it?
I mean, the thing about that show is, like, going back to people slagging the show off and things and stuff like that, for me, to have that experience and be able to meet some of, like, the legends, living legends of music, you know, coming on the show, mentoring you, giving you advice, that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience that you would never, ever get the opportunity to do. And I'm forever thankful for that, you know. To sing with somebody like him, my mum was absolutely obsessed with him. I grew up listening to him all the time. And, you know, he's somebody I admire as a musician and an artist. So to be on the same stage as him, like not even 2 months into my career starting and singing a song with him on the biggest TV show in the country, like, what more could you ask for than that? You know, it was incredible.
And has your mum been talking? Did your mum get to meet him, by the way?
She didn't actually get to meet him. We were supposed to go out for dinner pretty much straight after X Factor. Me, Cheryl, George Michael, and me mum. which would have been a combination. But I had to go off and do loads of promotional stuff for the song. And we just didn't end up having time to make it happen, which I do regret, because that would have been a dinner... That would have been a dinner meeting. That would have been incredible. The hotel I was staying at after X Factor, he sent a beautiful bottle of champagne with a card and some flowers saying, you know, congratulations, and it was a pleasure to sing with you. So, you know, it was very thoughtful of him to do that.
Okay, what was the first thing you spent money on when you had money to spend? What was the first thing that you treated yourself or your family to?
We were just talking about this yesterday. So basically, after I won, I got put in the Dorchester Hotel for about 5 nights to stay while I did all the promotion and all the TV shows. And the first big spending spree that I went on was actually to pay for laundry to be done in the Dorchester. We sent a couple of black bags to get washed and didn't expect it to be. And it came back and it was nearly £2,000. For two bags of laundry. I was absolutely mortified when I seen the bill because each sock was like £5 per sock, and it was a bit of a shock to the system. So that was actually the biggest purchase, and I didn't really get anything for it except old clothes that were nicely cleaned.
Well, I haven't paid to stay at the Dorchester, but I've been invited to the Dorchester. And one of the things that I found is they've got pens. You know, when you're in ordinary hotels, they've got plastic pens.
They've got Parker pens, haven't they?
Yeah, did you?
I was there a couple of weekends ago doing a show. Like, I did a private show, and it's beautiful. You know, it's a beautiful hotel to stay in, and I absolutely love staying there. But some of the prices do. I mean, I'm a northern boy, so I'm very well grounded with money, and I do feel sick, physically sick, at some of the prices in there.
Yeah, you don't listen. If somebody invites you to stay there and they're paying, excellent. But you don't want, listen, it's more expensive to get your car parked by them than to stay in a hotel in other places.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Joe, tell me about the new album. We're going to play a track from it now. What would you tell me about it?
Well, I mean, I'm recording the new album at the minute, and I've been doing a lot of writing and recording and just trying out sounds that I kind of want to put onto a new album. It's not going to be out until after the tour, a couple of months after the tour. I really want to spend some time on it. And some of the new material that hopefully will be on the new album is going to be in the new show on tour. So people will hear some brand new material that they've never heard before, which is quite exciting because rarely artists do that. You know, you don't normally hear the new music until the album comes out. But I wanted to perform brand new material in a brand new show before anybody had heard it before, so it's quite exciting.
And how much more of the tour have you got to do? Where are you going?
Well, we haven't even started it yet. It starts March the 1st, And
right.
it's going for almost 4 months. We're going for it's a long, long tour. It's over 60 dates, and I can't wait. I'm so excited to just be on the road for that length of time. I've never done it that long before, but I love being on tour, so I can't wait.
Have you got any guests on the tour, or are you doing it all yourself?
Well, it's me and my band, but you know, I've met a lot of people in this industry now. So if anybody's coming to the show and they can sing, they better watch out because I might drag them on stage. Because there might be some special guests.
Well, listen, I've got a couple of tickets to give away. I thought it was for the award ceremony you're doing, but it's not for the award ceremony. It's actually for the tour. So I've got tickets for the tour to give away, which I'm going to do in a minute. The only thing is, I don't know if you know this, tickets for Billingham concert, I haven't been to concert for years, and South Shields are not available because they're all sold out.
Yes, I mean, it's incredible. You know, we're doing almost nearly five nights in South Shields now. I'm also going to, like, so many places I've never been before, which is really exciting. I'm looking forward to meeting some new fans and new people and performing to some brand new audiences that have never seen us before, and also seeing people as well that have supported us all along the way.
And people might have a preconceived idea about what you're like. Listening to you and talking to you today, obviously, it's completely different. You've also, I've done this as well. I don't know whether you enjoyed it or not. Sometimes it's a bit daunting. You've actually addressed the Oxford Union.
I have, yes. That was very nerve-wracking.
Was it?
I thought they would think, who's this silly Geordie boy when I turned up there. But honestly, they were really interested in kind of the music industry, you know, and the politics of it all. And it was quite nice to give them a bit of information on it. But you do think I did think I was going into the lion's den, because you think Oxford students, they're going to hit us with some hard questions.
Nah, they're no brighter than you and me, Joe.
Well, honestly, they were absolutely lovely. I spent a lot of time with them after, and I kind of sat and had a cup of tea with a lot of the students as well, and they were lovely and really interested. And I think that's nice. You know, when somebody's really interested in something that you do, it means a lot. So it was nice.
Listen, what track could we play off your album?
Which album have you got?
We haven't got any.
We'll get any of them. What track would you like?
All right, you could play Here's What I Believe off the Here's What I Believe album. That was the latest album I released. I released that last year.
And you're okay with us putting that out, yeah?
Yeah, of course.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. All right, mate. Joe, great. Listen, lots of luck with the tour. Let's talk again sometime in the future. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Tired of hanging on to all the games you play, the lies you made, it won't work the way. You know I lead my cards right out for you to see, but you just steal what I wanna see. So you know, here's what I believe. You gotta be on one side or another. It's gotta be me or the other. That's how it's gotta be. Here's what I believe. Good luck with your part-time lover. I know I'm gonna find me another. Took that risk, but you had your plan. So I'm gonna tell you how I go. You're no longer in control. Just so you know, here's what I believe.
It's gotta be me or the other. It's how it's gotta be. Here's what I believe. Good luck with your part-time lover. I know I'm gonna find me another. 'Cause now I see. It's gotta be me or the other. That's how it's gotta be. Here's what I believe. You gotta be on one side or another. It's gotta be me or the other. That's how it's gotta be.
McKeldry, nice guy. What a nice guy. He is what I believe. That's a track from the current album. Now, as I said before, we have got a competition to give away two tickets. All right? Two tickets. Now, I talked to Joe. Here's the question, first of all, and this is what you're going to have to do. First of all, the question is this, and if you're a Joe McKeldry fan, you will know the answer, or you'll be able to find out. The question that I am going to ask you is quite simple. Which awards ceremony is Joe going to perform on Saturday the 5th of April? Which awards ceremony is Joe going to perform at on Saturday the 5th of April? I'll give you a clue. It's got something to do with the armed forces. So if you know the answer to that, then this is what you have to do. Not to me. You have to go to talentgb.com and click on the James Whale Interviews Joe McKeldry link and send your answer there. Now, the first person we pull out of the hat will win two tickets. Okay, so you and a friend can go and see Joe on tour. You can't go, though, to the concerts, I think I said before, at Billingham Concert South Shields, because they are already fully sold out. But he's going all over the country. He's got a four-month tour. And if you would like to go, we will arrange for you to go around and meet him as well. So if you'd like to see Joe McKeldry, you need to answer this question. Which awards ceremony will Joe be performing at on Saturday, April the 5th? And the first person we pull out of the hat will win two tickets to go and see him at a tour date of your choice, but not the ones I mentioned. To enter the competition, very simple, go to talentgb.com, click on the link, James Whale Interviews Joe McKeldry, and send your answer there. Don't send it to me. Go to talentgb.com. Click on the link for James Whale Interviews Joe McKeldry and send your answer there. Right, that's all done and dusted. He was a nice bloke, wasn't he?
I like Joe McKeldry.
Yeah, now you feel bad about being so rude and saying who's interested in such a little squirt like that, don't you?
You little liar.
You just do. You just feel terrible about that.
Yes.
Absolutely terrible. Right, now, just to carry on with the... I'm nearly finished, haven't I? I've been going on so long, I have nearly finished. I'll tell you what I would like, actually, if that's OK. If you've got any ideas out there as to people you'd like to hear on the program, we've had Boy George, Shane Ritchie, now Joe McKeldry. Warwick Davis is coming up on the program, of course, for those of you who love Star Wars. But if there's anybody that you think we should interview, maybe from the world of politics, getting David Cameron is proving to be difficult, just text me at our new text number, which is 81888. Put the word whale first. Tell me who you'd like to hear on the program, and we'll try and get them on. So text 81888, putting the word whale first, and also you help to keep the show going. Texts cost 25p, plus your standard charges, and 25p goes to the show. Good. Now, we were talking about Scottish independence, weren't we?
We were.
And that's got quite a lot of response. So I think, just to finish off with, I'd like to go back. We were talking about this, and does anybody really mind? I think a lot of people do. How many Scots people actually do want independence from the rest of the United Kingdom? If you do, then I think you should let us know. But everybody I meet, and ever since David Cameron said we should call friends in Scotland, I haven't got any friends in Scotland. All my Scottish friends have already moved south. Have you got any?
In Scotland, no.
No, I meant, have you got any friends?
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. But everybody I know says, no, it's ridiculous. Nobody wants to break up the union. Scotland would find it very difficult to succeed as an independent country. And the only people who are really keen on this are those people who think they're going to be better off and they're going to have more power, i.e. politicians who believe that they want their own separate country and a few people who think they're going to make a few bob out of it. Is that fair? I don't know. You tell me. We had this laugh earlier and we were a bit naughty. Perhaps we shouldn't have, because the news has been recently that The United Kingdom government, which may exclude, who knows, in the future Scotland, let us hope it doesn't, but the United Kingdom government has said the Scots should not think that they are going to continue using sterling. So if you vote for separation, you can't have the pound. But then why would you want the pound? Because you're going independent. And some bright spark texts me in, 81888, by the way, and said, why not call it the jock? Which is it's quite insulting.
Would they have to change the scales as well to, I weigh so many euros?
Why do you keep going on about euros?
Well, they'd have to... Oh, you think they're going to have their own currency?
Well, yeah, the eurozone isn't necessarily going to allow them to join the euro.
Oh, I see.
And if they do, it's going to take a while. We aren't going to allow them to join sterling. I wish you'd keep up.
Sorry, James.
A couple more of your thoughts here. Mark Cole says it would be good to keep the union together. It's worked well for 300-odd years. Why break it up? Just because of the agenda of Alex Salmond and his cronies. But then Karen Baker, hello, Karen, she says, as my Scottish friends say, freedom! Right, I want to leave you with one last thought. We were going to do... What were we going to do? Should we put on hold on sending aid abroad to use it to sort out the crisis of flooding at the moment? In fact, let's do that now, because we've had a lot of response to that on Facebook, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah. And looking at some of the pictures, and you're in North Wales at the moment. I'm down here in the south. It's been pretty appalling here. The other day, the hurricanes, you lost part of your roof. I lost my chimney. And for those people along the Thames Valley and out on the Somerset Levels, it really is a major catastrophe. And I think until people go there and look at it, you don't realise just how bad it is. There are thousands, literally thousands of people whose homes will become... It'll be difficult. You won't be able to sell those houses. Would you buy a house there that have been flooded? 4 or 5 foot of water through the house.
I don't think houses should be built there in the first place, if I'm being honest.
Well, I don't think houses should be built on a floodplain, and yet politicians are continuing to allow planning for homes and businesses on floodplains. But the question we asked on Facebook, I think it was earlier, was should we put a hold on sending aid abroad? Now, David Cameron has said there is no worry about them. It's funny, we've got this money now. Doesn't matter how much it's going to cost to sort the problems of everybody who's been caught by this exceptional weather. which somebody said this. We're just discussing, is it about climate change? Well, of course it's about it's about the climate, and the climate does change. And the thing about Britain is we should be more used to it than others. All right, it's a bit extreme at the moment, but we've had this kind of extreme weather before. What we haven't done is we haven't kept the rivers and the ditches and the storm drains looked after. So now we've actually had years of neglect of looking after stuff for one reason or another. When did you last see a bloke coming along your road digging the ditches out? If you live in rural areas, you will have had ditches along the side of your road. I bet most of them are filled in. But the climate changes, you know. We probably at some point will head to another ice age. That'll give you all something to worry about. There used to be a time not long ago, in Tudor times, a few hundred years ago, you could skate on the River Thames. They had ice fairs on the River Thames. And they had a fairly tropical, well, a fairly warm, maybe a European climate here. They grew grapes. They enjoyed good weather. It changes. And now, for one reason or another, I'm sure, you know, the activity of the industrialized world has got something to do with it. But you can't suddenly stop the way we live. You can't suddenly say we're going to stop tomorrow and it'll all go back to the way it was, because nature isn't going back to the way it was. The climate of this planet changes, and one day it'll change so much that human beings won't be able to exist on this planet. And I don't think there's a lot we can do. We can make... Listen, I think we should be recycling. I don't think we should be making as much mess and as much litter as we have. I don't think we should be cutting down trees in the rainforest because it's destroying the habitat of... But on the other hand, I don't think you can save every single species on the planet. People get obsessed with saving species. Because there comes a time for every species, including us, I would think, when we die out. My God, just imagine if no species had ever died out. Would we be living happily next door to a dinosaur? That's a bit deep, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, just I digress. I did put out the question, should we be sending our aid abroad? You know, we send aid abroad for crises, or should we divert that aid now to help those people? Andrew Chalish says, hello, Andrew. He says, how does the saying go, charity begins at home? Gavin Thorburn says, giving out foreign aid is like throwing money away to ungrateful, corrupt nations. I don't think that's fair, Gavin, not to everybody. There's a lot of people out there who do need our help, and hopefully we are helping. If the UK was ever in the position of needing help back, none would ever be given. I don't think that's right. I'm sure if we really needed help, we'd be helped. John Lodge says, Britain's aid budget is ridiculously large, getting on for £9 billion a year. That's a lot of nice new Mercedes for third world dictators. John Jones, apparently foreign heads of state have been forming a queue to offer financial aid to help this third world country of ours in time of need. Kathy Hall says, this country is in crisis with the floods, so any aid that would go to other countries should be spent on flood defences first. And Darren Horn says, $250 million to India. They can afford to build a nuclear missile. They can also build a space programme, but they can't feed their own kids. We send aid to China. How about stopping that money and spend it here helping our own folks? Yes, stop aid money going abroad until we have made ourselves safe first. If you've got a thought on that, text me, 81888. Put the word whale first, 81888. We'll talk about it on next week's programme. Text costs 25p plus normal charges. Now, have you seen that little video that we've put up about me in Boston?
Oh, not the one with you naked in the bathroom.
Now, that has to stop. Mrs. W's most upset about that. That I went to Boston, and that's about 20 years ago, 18, 20 years ago, and I took a little camera. It's quite a big camera compared with the size of little cameras now, but then it was quite little. And I kind of, just as a holiday snap, I filmed myself on this journey, and I went to Boston. I did my radio show, my late-night radio show at the time, did it from studios at WRKO in Boston. Then I drove down to Cape Cod to actually do an infomercial I was booked to do there, and I just filmed some of it. And somebody's nicked these tapes and put them on out there on the internet.
Oh, dear.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And one of the shots on this is me in my underpants in the bathroom. Did you do it?
It might be me.
Did you do it? And there's another video that now I've noticed on Twitter of me at Clone Zone in Manchester, which I know is a regular haunt of yours.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll stick them up on our page up there. You'll be able to look at them as well.
Yeah, they're there. They're already okay. There, James. Everyone's seen them.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Listen, have a great week. We'll see you again next time, of course, on your favourite radio station, online, on Talent GB. Don't forget to enter the competition for tickets to go and see Joe McKeldry. And next week, I think we've got Warwick Davis on the programme, of course.
We have.
Okay. Say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show? Or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.